You're now listening to The Freedman Show, where we discuss Black news, politics, and culture. And I'm your host, Jahadu. Hello, you all. This is episode 2 of The Freedman Show with your host, Jahadu. How are you all doing? I was just looking over some stuff today, and what I wanted to start doing every month is searching somebody in Black history and ADOS history, and really just starting to get in tune and learning about them and their effects on our cultures and our communities. And one person that I've started to look into is Fred Hampton. You know, and Fred Hampton was killed by the FBI. You know, they killed him. I mean, like, I don't, it's like anything involving Black people, America don't want to see an uprising. That's everything that I'm reading about our history is just preventing an uprising. You know, the COINTELPRO program, you know, it was the FBI's former spy program targeting citizens of the U.S. I mean, clearly it was only targeting Black people. And it was invented to me to disrupt the Black Panther Party's movement, what they were trying to do. I mean, from just looking at the history, all they were really trying to do was uplift Black people. That's it. They were just trying to uplift their communities in a positive way and empower their people. I think their message was extremely misunderstood. You know, they were exercising their rights as American citizens. And I think that scared people like J. Edgar Hoover, because he saw them as a threat to the American establishment, or the way things were going, the order that was placed upon them, amongst, you know, not even just on them, but African Americans in general. You know, J. Edgar Hoover described the Black Panther Party as the greatest threat to the internal security of the country. Really? Were the Black Panther Party that bad? Were they that bad? You know, I'm looking at this. One thing that I wanted to go over in this episode is the Black Panthers 10-point program, and I wanted to go over it, because as I was going over it myself before I started this episode, I just noticed that we're still going through this stuff right today. Everything that they wanted, everything the Black Panther Party was fighting for within this 10-point program, like, ADOS Blacks are still going through the same stuff today. So I'm gonna go down a list of the things that they wanted, and I'm gonna do speaking points on myself and what I believe, you know, as it relates today. Okay, so this is the Black Panther Party's 10-point program, and it says, the first one, number one, it says, we want freedom, we want power to determine the destiny of our Black and oppressed communities. we believe the black and oppressed people will not be free until we are able to determine our destinies and our own communities ourselves by fully controlling all the institutions which exist in our communities. That was number one. Like, blacks Inc. in their own communities, they don't control nothing today. They don't control anything today. Matter of fact, most of our communities are getting tore down. I mean, look what's happening. Look what's happening in Portland right now. Look at all the gentrification that's happening in Portland right now. Like, the people can't even the black people that live there, their neighborhoods are just being torn down. It's the most gentrified state in the country. In the whole country. And they're trying to give them programs there where they'll give them a down payment, help them get a down payment on a house within that area. But how are they gonna survive in that area now that it's gentrified? And again, blacks in America only have 2% of the wealth. So that's what we're looking at right now. We getting forced out of our neighborhoods. We getting priced out of our neighborhoods. Due to things again like slavery, the Jim Crow era, redlining, police brutality. You know, not getting reparations and not getting to enjoy the American dream like other people that's here. And this is done on purpose. It's done on purpose. I'm gonna go into point two because I want to keep this flowing. All right, it says we want full employment for our people. We believe that the federal government is responsible and obligated to give every person employment or a guaranteed income. We believe that if the American businessman will not give full employment, then the technology and means of production should be taken from the businessman and placed in the community so that the people of the community can organize and employ all of its people and give a high standard of living. Now, the unemployment of black males in America right now, I believe is about 6%. I believe it's about 6% right now. And I want to make sure that I'm giving out the right numbers or the right percentage. Because yeah, man, This is just ridiculous, man. Seriously. It's ridiculous of what we go through in America. Yeah, right now, as of April 2019, black males are their unemployment rate are at 6.2%. 6.2%. And for black women, as of March 2019, their unemployment rate is at 5.3%. So we going into the 10-point program of the Black Panther Party and how it's reflecting today on black society, and the things from their program just weren't fulfilled. They're not being fulfilled at all. You know, and I just feel like in general, this is by design, not just basing everything I'm saying off this program, but the ideals that they had and what they were trying to do for black people at the time, which was very positive. It was only things that were going to empower the black community. which is what they were trying to do. It's not being lived up to. It's not. You know, from this point too, if this was lived up to, that unemployment rate wouldn't be even half that. It wouldn't even be half that, you know. And I'm looking at this, and as of April 2019, for white males in America, for just whites in general, the unemployment rate is 2.9%. Just 2.9%. And then for whites in general, it's 2.9%. Then for white males, it's 2.8% for unemployment rate as of April 2019. For white women, it's 2.4%. Like, man. And like I said, for black women, it's 4.8%. You know, those are the real numbers. And I'm getting all my information that I just told you about the statistics. You can get them from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So this is real data. I'm not just putting numbers out, you know. So let's go into point three. And number three of Black Panther's 10-point program, it says, we want an end to the robbery by the capitalists of our Black and oppressed communities. We believe that this racial government has robbed us, and now we are demanding the overdue debt of 40 acres and two mules. 40 acres and two mules were promised 100 years ago as a restitution for slave labor and mass murder of Black people. We will accept the payment in currency, which will be distributed to our many communities. The American racist has taken part in the slaughter of our 50 million Black people. Therefore, we feel this is a modest demand that we make. And what's going on in today's climate right now? We're talking about reparations. We're talking about reparations. You know, that's been a big thing to talk of reparations. And do we really need to be talking about it? Do we really need to be talking about reparations? That's it, just talking. I'm talking about H.R. 40. I mean, the Commission to Study and Develop Reparations. Do we really need to study? We need to study about reparations. How much longer do we need to study? I'm just asking, how much studying do we need to be doing? The study is already done. The study is within American history. Oh, my bad. American history, the real American history, is not taught in schools. So that it's not taught in public schools. Damn, they're not even taught in colleges. I have to find out all this information by myself. Of the real history of our history and how it's affected our people. They know the history. They don't need to be no H.R. 40. And the 2020 election, we demand reparations. We need reparations. We deserve reparations for the many of things that we've gone through in this country. The endless, relentless detriments that's been placed upon our people. I mean, y'all already know how I do. I go down the line. Slavery, the Jim Crow era, excuse me, segregation, redlining, police brutality, mass incarceration, the crack epidemic that took out our people, sent our brothers to jail. I mean, the way that we've been displaced in this country is ridiculous. It makes no sense at all. But let me go into the Black Panther 10-point program, number four. We want decent housing fit for the shelter of human beings. We believe that if the landlords will not give decent housing to our Black and oppressed communities, then housing and the land should be made into cooperatives so that the people in our communities will people in our communities with government aid can build and make decent housing for the people. That's not happening. Again, that goes back to gentrification. That goes back to gentrification, man. All over again. The same thing that we're talking about that's going on in Portland right now. You know, the Black people are getting pushed out. They getting pushed out. And then let's not even talking about the new neighbors how they gentrified around the college campus of Howard and got their dogs walking around the college campus of Howard on the yard of the college campus. Like, it's like we've been pushed out our own communities all over again after redlining. Y'all should read the book, The Color of Law. It talks all about redlining, segregation, and how we were pushed out of our communities and pretty much how the hoods were made. Like, this is not a coincidence. Excuse me. Sorry. All right, I'm back. So this is not a coincidence at all what's been taking place. It's not. All right, but getting back to it, we are 0.5 right now. And 0.5 is we want decent education for our people that exposes the true nature of this descended American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and our role in the present day society. We believe in an educational system that will give to our people a knowledge of self. If we do not have knowledge of self and your position in the society and in the world, if you do not have knowledge of self and your position in the society and in the world, then you will have little chance to know anything else. You see, in public schools, Black history isn't being taught correctly. It's not. You know, it's not being taught correctly. They're trying to make slavery seem like I said this before. Making it seem like it's something that we wanted to do, or that we just wanted our people wanted to just do this for free labor, like we were doing them a favor or something. Really? I mean, this is something that you probably should already know from sending your children to school. You know, I feel that we can't depend on the public school systems to take care of us or teach our children. We have to take our children's minds in our own hands and teach them, because the public school is not designed for that. It's not designed to teach Black history, to teach the true history. It seems more so like our history has been thrown to the wayside, or like they're just trying to get rid of it, you know. So we have to take it upon ourselves to teach our our family members and our children about people like Fred Hampton, Huey P. Newton, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. We have to take it upon ourselves to do that. All right, let's go into point six, and please make sure that y'all send me a voicemail through the Anchor app and let me know what y'all think of this episode. You know, I'm just doing a little intermission. Like I really appreciate you if you're listening to this right now. You know, I really felt strongly about doing this and being a voice for my people, a voice for the ADOS movement, and just really getting to the thick of things and how our history, how Black history and the things that our people went through and what they were fighting for and how it relates to now. You know, even more so now than ever, and how we need to pick up that torch and keep going. And we don't want to hurt nobody. We don't want to hurt nobody. We just want our just due as Americans. We were promised 40 acres and root and a mule. We were promised reparations, and we haven't been repaired. We haven't been repaired as a society. Yes, we are Americans, but we don't truly get to experience the American life like everybody else do. So getting back to the 10-point program, where are we at? At number six. All right. We want completely free health care for all Black and oppressed people. We believe that the government must provide free of charge for the people health facilities, which will not only treat our illness, most of which have come about as a result of our oppression, but which will also develop preventative medical programs to guarantee our future survival. We believe that mass health education and research programs must be developed to give all Black and oppressed people access to advanced scientific and medical information so we may provide ourselves with proper medical attention and care. Man, if you living in America, in general, healthcare is ridiculous. All right, we got the highest cost in healthcare, period. You know, and it's hard for anybody to afford healthcare here. I mean, so if you switching off and you talking about ADOS, you talking about ADOS affording healthcare when we have the highest unemployment rates in the country. That's not gonna happen. You know, and see, this is where a Black agenda comes into play. This is where a Black agenda comes into play. You know, we talk about a Black agenda. We talk about a Black agenda. We talk about reparations. We've all always had this Black agenda. You know who made this Black agenda? The Black Panther Party made this Black agenda. And it's clear as day. And it's a shame as I read through this, because I'm reading through this, and I've read through this before, and it's been a while, you know. But as I read through this, and as I'm older now and I'm more wiser now, I see that this was the program. And as I read through it, you know, it kind of saddens me that none of this stuff was ever fulfilled. And it's very positive things. It's positive things. You know, I feel like the COINTELPRO undermined the Black Panther Party. And that's why certain things happened. And, you know, that's why I was disbanded, or that's why I was broken up. Because the FBI wanted to break it up because J. Edgar Hoover pretty much saw it as a threat to the American establishment, which is it wasn't. It was more so a threat to the white supremacist racist establishment. But he not going to say that. Nobody gonna say that. And, you know, precursor, I love everybody in the world, no matter what color, race, or anything that they are, you know. That's just what it is coming from me. But history is history, and treatment is treatment. And the way that ADOS, the way that blacks has been treated in this country, man, this is shameful. But I'm going to continue. We almost through the 10-point program. It says, this is point seven. We want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of all black people, other people of color, all oppressed people inside the United States. We believe that the racist and fascist government of the United States uses its domestic enforcement agencies to carry out its program of oppression against black people, other people of color, and poor people inside the United States. We believe it is our right, therefore, to defend ourselves against such armed forces, and that all black and oppressed people should be armed for self-defense of our homes and communities against these fascist police forces. Now, again, I'm older now, and I see number seven. Now, I could see from that, and again, I like looking at things from all angles. I'm not biased, but point number seven, you know, I could see why that would spark, you know, the FBI or the government, you know, to feel some type of way, you know. I could definitely understand that. But it still gives them the right to do what they did to the Black Panther Party. I mean, looking at this at first sight, I can understand it sounds aggressive or what have you. But what it's really saying is that no matter who it is, it could be a police force, it could be anybody who's willing to oppress you, that we should defend ourselves. It's not saying that we should go out and be like killing police officers, or we should go out and, you know, kill military personnel. Like I'm a Navy veteran, you know, so I don't believe it's saying that, but it is saying that we need to stand up for ourselves. We need to make sure that we're not being oppressed, because things that are done to us, it's not right. And it's talking about police brutality. It's talking about police brutality. I mean, come on now. Like, I mean, come on. We shouldn't even get into that. Y'all already know what's going on in American society when it comes to police brutality. Man, I could keep going. You know, it's just ridiculous what's been going on. It's ridiculous. You know, rest in peace, Orlando Castillo. You know, like, man, like I'm at a loss for words right now. Just going over this, man. You know, because it's just showing me that none of this stuff was fulfilled, and I believe that it was by design. I personally believe that it was by design. You know, and it was for righteous. To me, it was for righteous cause, for righteous causes. Excuse me. All right, let's continue. You know, like I said, I'm at a loss for words right now, but been thinking about all of this stuff. Let's keep it going. We're gonna continue on. And please forgive me, you know, like I'm just trying to make sure I get through this. I'm new at doing this, but I have a voice and I want to use it. So let's keep it going. So this is point eight. We want an immediate end to all wars of aggression. We believe that the various conflicts which exist around the world stem directly from the aggressive desire of the United States ruling circle and government to force its domination upon the oppressed people of the world. We believe that if the United States government or its lackeys do not cease these aggressive wars, it is the right of the people to defend themselves by any means necessary against their aggressors. Now, again, I'm a veteran. I'm a Navy veteran. I want to add a precursor to that. And you know what this says to me is, again, this is my point of view.
as an ADOS, as a black man in America, I think to myself, and I look around and I see how black people are being killed left and right by the police. Killed left and right by the police. And also, in Flint, Michigan, you got the water crisis. And in Chicago, you have more people that are dying and getting killed than who are in Iraq. And, you know, than the people who are in Iraq. Like, really? So, how are we going to go to other countries and tell them how to run their countries or tell them how to do stuff when America can't even fix what's going on in their own backyard? You know, I think for America to really fix itself, it's really going to have to look at itself. Excuse me. It's really going to have to take a look at itself and figure what's going on in its own backyard. You know, blacks, ADOS deserve reparations. They deserve it. The people in Flint, the water crisis that's going on there, that's been going on there, that's been harming those people, that they definitely should get forms of payment for, I believe. You know, that to me is more important than building a wall. To me, is more important than building a wall. People having clean water in America of all countries is more important than a wall right now. Also, this big divide that's going on with us, all of this tension that's going on between of all of our people. That it's only one race. And that's the human race. You know, this divide that's going amongst people, you know, chaos is worth more money than peace. Peace don't make as much money as chaos. And I believe some of the people that are in power, they want things to be this way. It's human socially engineered to be this way. So people keep going at each other over and over and over again. You know, that's what I personally believe that the things that's going on are for, because America makes money off of all of this confusion that's going on. But that's just me. But to wrap this point up, point A up as it relates to now, is that I believe America needs to fix what's going on in its own backyard before it goes to somebody else's backyard and try to fix or dictate what's going on in his backyard. You know, and like I said, I'm a veteran, so I can say that, and I can speak on that, and anybody can speak on that. But anyway, listen, we're gonna go ahead and get this wrapped up. You know, we got two more points to go over, and I hope you all enjoy this. And again, please go ahead and leave a message, leave a recording, and let me know, you know, a voice message, and let me know how y'all feel about this dialogue that I'm having. Going over the Black Panther Party's 10-point program and how it relates to today. All right. This is point number 9. We want freedom for all black and oppressed people now held in U.S. federal, state, county, city, and military persons in jails. We want trials by a jury of peers for all persons charged with so-called crimes under the laws of this country. We believe that many black and poor oppressed people now held in United States prisons and jails have not received fair and impartial trials under a racist and fascist judicial system and should be free from incarceration. We believe in the ultimate elimination of the wretched, inhumane penal institution because the masses of men and women in prison inside the United States or by the United States military are the victims of oppressive conditions, which are the real cause of their imprisonment. We believe that when persons are brought to trial, they must be guaranteed by the United States jurors of their peers, attorney of their choice, freedom and imprisonment while awaiting trials. Man, I mean, do I have to even talk about the injustices that's going on? I mean, let's go back to the crack epidemic. I mean, the crack epidemic was treated as a criminal issue and not a health issue. That was affecting the Black community. But you got the opioid crisis, and it's affecting the white community more, and it's getting treated as a health issue and not a crime issue. And that was giving my brothers and sisters football numbers, you know? And from what's been going on, I mean, it's clear to see that all of that stuff was wrong. You know, you got Joe Biden trying to run for president, and he wrote the 1994 crime bill, but he's not trying to discuss that, and that locked plenty of our brothers and sisters up. You got marijuana being legalized, and our people are not making no money off of that, but whites and blacks smoke marijuana just the same, but blacks are 6 times more likely to go to prison for it. You know, man, like it's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous how we're getting treated in this country, man. It makes zero sense how we're being treated. You know, we definitely deserve justice on that stance. Like I said, 50% of black males like 50% of the prison population are black males. 50%. America has the highest prison population in the world. You know, don't quote me on this, but I think we went on like the 4th largest country. You know, but we have about 25% of the world's prison population. Man, that should let you know something. That's modern day slavery. That's exactly what that is. Man, well, let's continue. We're gonna go to the last point. And the last point of the Black Panther Party's 10-point program and how it relates today is, let's go to number 10, and it's, we want land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, peace, and people's community control of modern technology. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another and to assume among the power of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, and a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such a form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that government's long establishment should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are most disposed to suffer. When evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the form to which they are accustomed. But when long train of abuses pursuing invariable the same subject evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide a new guard for their future security. And again, we're at point 10, and that's the final point. I mean, and this pretty much saying if we don't agree with the government and what's going on, that we need to stand for our rights. We're not getting reparations. We're not getting our just due. You know, this has been a constant trend when it's dealing with the Democratic Party specifically, in America today. You know, the talk of reparations, you know, they're trying to push it to the wayside. You know, benign and neglect. They're not even really trying to talk about it like they're supposed to. The only person that's really proposing a call for reparations in the presidential elections right now is Marianne Wilson, and that's it. That's the only person who's even thinking about it. Is Marianne Williams. She's the only person who's proposing anything concerning reparations right now. You know, point 10 is pretty much saying that we need to have these things. We need to have land, you know, proper food and education, clothing, everything that any American should have. Everything any American should have, you know, with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know. And, you know, to me, there's no American like ADOS, you know, American Descendants of Slaves. We built this country, you know, so we should have these basic needs and be able to exercise these basic rights without getting brutalized, facing scrutiny for just wanting to live and wanting to survive. You know, I could keep going on and on and on about this, but, you know, you all get the picture. So, you know, let me know what you all feel about this. Please go ahead and leave a voicemail, you know, and let me know what y'all think about this topic. And again, this is going over the Black Panther's 10-point program and how it reflects and it relates today. And overall, you can see that all the things that they were trying to realize, the Black agenda that they were trying to realize for Black people. But again, like, and from what we've learned, just people all over the world being oppressed by an oppressive state of government, they didn't want that happening anymore. You know, from reading this, you know, it seems like, well, it just looks like to me, just from reading over the 10-point program, which you all, that the Black Panthers wanted reparations for Blacks and fair treatment as any other American in American society were being treated. But not only did they want that, they wanted the fair treatment of people all over the world that could relate to the struggles of what they were going through. You know, if they were people of color and they were in the struggle, they wanted them to overcome that struggle. And that's what I'm getting from this overall. But you all have a very good day. You all have a very good afternoon or very good evening. God bless all you, all of you. And, you know, thanks for listening to episode 2 of The Freedman Show. I'm your host, Hadu, and you all take care. Thanks for listening.